good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, August 28, 2015. The U.S. ambassador to South Sudan praises President Kiir for declaring a ceasefire in South Sudan.
We'll support the peacemakers as they pursue reconciliation and reconstruction. We commend the leaders of South Sudan for choosing peace, and we pledge our support for their efforts.
And a South Sudanese-born NBA star says he's working to discourage South Sudanese youth from spreading hate speech.
We need something where everyone could come together and listen to the same news and hopefully have the same outcome and the same direction for everybody, because I really believe all the youth and everyone wants peace in South Sudan and wants to unite.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. President Salva Kiir has ordered his troops to lay down their arms and cease all hostilities. A decree announcing the ceasefire was read out on national television last night. The international community is vowing to help ensure that the 20 months of conflict will be replaced by lasting peace in South Sudan. VOA fellow Tito Justin has this report.
President Kiir declared the ceasefire 24 hours after he signed the IGAD Plus deal to end 20 months of fighting in South Sudan. Aten Wek Aten is President Kiir's spokesman.
The president has issued a presidential order yesterday in which he declared a permanent ceasefire and gave orders to the chief of general staff of the Sudan People Liberation Army, which is the national army, to cease all hostilities and to stop all forces from making offensive against the rebels.
The ceasefire will take effect tomorrow, 72 hours after Mr. Kiir signed the peace agreement. That corresponds with what the IGAD Plus peace deal calls for. Aten says government forces were ordered last night to immediately observe a ceasefire. He says government troops are expected to remain in their barracks and to only use their weapons in self-defense. Aten says the ceasefire is a vital step to restoring peace in South Sudan.
It gives to the impression to the citizens and all international actors that the president means the signature that he put on the compromise peace proposals. It shows that South Sudan is not warmongering, is not looking for more wars.
Aten says the announcement of the ceasefire is good news for humanitarian workers and the thousands of people that they will now be able to reach and assist. But he says the rebels must also abide by the ceasefire if humanitarian corridors are to be reopened and the safety of aid workers guaranteed.
We have to wait for the double good news to come from rebels. What I expect from them, to say we also ceasefire.
Dixon Gatluak, a spokesperson for the SPLM opposition, says Machar is expected to declare a ceasefire soon. Gatluak says rebel forces loyal to Machar are already under orders to not instigate any new fighting.
All the military forces who are there on the ground, all of them are still under our command, and we keep in touch with them. They are aware of it.
The U.S. ambassador to South Sudan, Mayor Catherine Fee, says the Troika for South Sudan, which is made up of the United States, the United Kingdom and Norway, and the European Union, fully support Mr. Kiir's ceasefire declaration. Fee warns that the international community will take stern measures against anyone who breaches the ceasefire.
We are ready to actively participate in the monitoring of the ceasefire, and that we believe that there should be consequences for those who return to arms.
Fee says the international community stands solidly with the South Sudanese people as they heal and rebuild their nation. She also praised Mr. Kiir and Machar for finally agreeing to go down the path of peace instead of continuing the 20-month war.
For the sake of the next generation, we, the Troika and the European Union, will support the peacemakers as they pursue reconciliation and reconstruction. We commend the leaders of South Sudan for choosing peace, and we pledge our support for their efforts.
Fee also stressed that for peace to last, the ceasefire needs to hold on the IGAD Plus agreement that has now been signed by all of the former warring parties in South Sudan must be fully and unconditionally implemented. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Washington.
Nabil Biagio compiled that report from Juba. Hundreds of South Sudanese took part in rallies today to show support for the IGAD peace agreement. One of the rallies was held in western Bahr al-Ghazal state capital, Wau. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Wau.
Addressing the crowd gathered at Peace Hall, Governor Rizik Zakaria Hassan highlighted the reservation cited by the President Kiir when he signed the document in Juba earlier this week. Among other things, Zakaria questioned why South Sudan's capital should be guarded by foreign forces.
In the case of the security arrangement, the agreement states that all the government forces should be out of Juba by the 25th, and the capital should be guarded by the international community forces. So we are considering this as an occupation to our national forces. Then, what shall we do with our forces?
Governor Rizik says the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, as described under the agreement, will be considered the governing authority of the Republic of South Sudan. He complains that neither the government nor the national legislatures will have a role to play in security operations. He says the commission should fall under the responsibility of the national government of the national unity. But the Governor Rizik acknowledged that any deal should include compromises from both sides.
We cannot expect all that we need, nor should the rebels expect all their expectations to be met. But this is what has been signed. So what is important is that during the implementation, we see some solutions for those observations.
Rizik urged Western Bahr al-Ghazal citizens to work with the government to implement the agreement. Jonglei State Governor also welcomed the president's signing of the IGAD-led peace deal at the peace rally in Bor. Governor John Kong Nyon says the deal will open ways to development and reduce the suffering of the South Sudanese people.
There was no need for people to have died in the war. Every day we bury people. Every day we destroyed our houses, and always people run to IDP camps. If peace will save us, then you have to accept peace and solve your issues. There are people who don't accept that. The president signed to rescue your lives so that your children can go to school. He signed so that there is development in the country.
A member of the Jonglei State Youth Union, Malwal Abraham Ateng, disagrees. He says rewarding rebels in South Sudan may create more problems.
Peace is okay, yeah, but the way that peace has been conducted by the African leaders and IGAD in particular, it's not the way that peace used to be done in the rest of the world.
Ateng says even though people attended the rally, most of them do not support the peace deal. Civil servants, police, armed forces, and members of the faith-based and civil society groups attended the rally. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Wau.
Jacob Ache contributed to this report from Bor. Opposition politicians in South Sudan are applauding President Kiir for signing the peace deal and for ordering his troops to stop fighting. But they say the entire country must now stand behind President and Riek Machar to make sure the ceasefire holds and the peace deal is fully implemented. Philip Thornaleu spoke with two leading opposition politicians today and has this report for VOA from Juba.
We think that our people have suffered enough, and this is the time for the leaders to rise above the narrow interests to serve the interests of the people.
That is Lema Kol, the head of opposition umbrella group, the National Alliance, and the chairman of the SPLM-DC. Akol says President Kiir's decisions to announce a ceasefire is a first step toward peace. He says the ceasefire will be effective if President Kiir and Machar both take responsibility for the actions of their military commanders and any breaches of the cessation of hostilities.
So if the officers don't comply, the responsibility will fall on their commanders-in-chief. So they have every interest to see that officers that do not intend to implement the agreement are made to do so.
Akol says South Sudan leaders face many more obstacles on the road to lasting peace.
The peace agreement itself is a big challenge. each of us need to do what we are required to do.
Akol is supposed to sign the peace agreement on behalf of the National Alliance, but he says the IGAD Plus mediation team has not yet made the document available to him. Under the terms of the deal, Akol's SPLMDC and other political parties will be part of a transitional government of national unity that is supposed to be set up in the next 3 months. The transitional government will be headed by Mr. Kiir with Machar as one of his seconds in command. If Akol's party is included in the transitional government, it will be the first time the veteran opposition chief will work with President Kiir since the SPLMDC party was formed in 2009. Akol says he looks forward to having the opportunity to influence government policies. He says he already knows what his main focus will be.
For us, the top priority is reform. We must carry out reform so that we have a country of institutions that work. Secondly, we have to oversee reconciliation, healing, and truth-telling.
Peter Lomude is the acting Secretary General of the United South Sudan Party, or USSP. Lomude also applauds Mr. Kiir for finally agreeing to sign the peace agreement 9 days after Machar and former detainee Pagana Amom signed in Addis Ababa. Lomude says it will take a group effort to make the peace deal work.
Implementation of the peace, of course, is the challenge, is a big thing ahead of us that we are looking forward to see that indeed the peace agreement that has been signed recently is strictly implemented. And it requires collective responsibility from all the stakeholders and the citizens, as well as the friends of South Sudan, to support us and implement the agreement as it is.
In spite of the potential difficulties, Lomude says reconciliation and unity are possible in South Sudan, even after 20 months of war. For VOA News, I am Philip Tonaleo in Juba.
Meanwhile, the spokesman for the former political detainees says his group will work to implement the compromise peace agreement. John Luke says all the people of South Sudan must stop warmongering and work towards restoring peace across the country. Speaking from Addis Ababa, John Luke says his group will return to Juba in the coming days to help the government with the implementation of the peace agreement.
When President Salva signed in Juba the compromise agreement, that completed the signatures of the compromise agreement. That makes it really an agreement that you can call there is an agreement. Yesterday, he also declared a permanent ceasefire. Those show some good faith in and commitment to implement what has been signed.
People around the world are congratulating the leadership in South Sudan, and at the same time, they are urging the leaders to implement the agreement to the letter. Are you hopeful that this agreement will be implemented?
Well, as I just said, the first step, of course, that the government has made a declaration of a permanent ceasefire. That is one of the important requirements to begin with. It is now for IGAD, I believe, to get in touch with the parties and begin to make proposals or ask them to form, for instance, some of the critical committees that require to be established. For instance, the agreement says the National Constitutional Amendment Committee would be formed immediately soon after the signature of the agreement. And that it has 21 days to complete the incorporation of the peace agreement into the transitional constitution. So it needs the parties and also the IGAD mediators to be engaged in the process of implementation by starting with the required committees. And for instance, in the ceasefire area, there is a workshop that should be convened so that they proceed with the monitoring.
How many parties are involved in this process?
The two warring parties, the government and the SPLMIO, and then ourselves, former detainees who signed also the document. The other civil society groups, faith-based, all those they have signed. And all those who have signed, they have some representations in some of those committees.
You have the SPLM in opposition, the SPLM in the government, and you have the SPLM former detainees. Now, your group, the SPLM former detainees, are you going back to South Sudan as a different party?
No, we are not going back as a different party. Especially, we have the Arusha agreement. Arusha agreement, of course, provided that under Article 39 of it, that it recognized the three groups of the SPLM, that is the SPLM in government, the SPLM in opposition, and then the SPLM, the former political detainees.
Correct me if I'm wrong. It looks like at the end of the day, it is SPLM dividing positions among themselves.
That could be true, because if the three groups now go and unite, even the opposition now has not declared that it wants to establish its own party. At least I can speak for the SPLM former detainees that we do not intend to form a separate party other than the mother SPLM. And that now, with this agreement having been signed, we're going to Juba and as part of the SPLM.
That's John Luke, the spokesman for the former SPLM detainees. He was speaking to me earlier today from the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, fishermen in Bor say profits are high and they are feeding the hungry, but others say their prices are too high. More on that when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
Do you feel you cannot marry because of your circumstances?
No, not at all. I think I have everything that would help me get married, and I'm just waiting for God's time, and at the right time, I will definitely get married.
Generally, getting married is a matter of having the resources, but getting married is a matter of understanding yourself with your partner. We must not necessarily have financial means to get married.
I feel I can marry, but although sometimes circumstances can be very difficult because of family expectation, financial expectations and other things, but I don't think I ever have it in mind I won't marry.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Business is good for Jonglei State fishermen. Demand is high, prices are up, and investment is minimal. But some locals complain the price of fish is too high and they are calling on the government to intervene. For VOA, Jacob Achek has the story from Bor.
The sounds of locals competing to buy tilapia, Nile fresh and mudfish from the riverside in Bor. Some customers, like Deng Awan, who runs a local hotel, complain that there are certain women who buy all the fish direct from the fishermen, then sell it to others at high price.
The boat do come, but they don't allow me to buy fish. Some ladies, they just bought them first with maybe small amount, and then after the boat, they come and charge me high price. And if I come there, I won't even to buy from the owner of the boat. They don't even agree.
Koma Rubens, a cook with the Sabana Restaurant Company, says the hotel raise menu prices depending on the price of cash of the day. He says fish which costs £15 is typically cut into two pieces, then sold at a price of £15 per plate.
You get profit, but not really too much. Maybe you can get like 30 or 35. Now, at time also, we get challenge of price, because you cannot buy at a higher price, then you go and sell at a low price.
Local fish customer Manyang Duan agrees the price of most fish is too high and warns state officials to step in.
We have a price of fish at around 50, 40 if you want to have a good meal of fish, and it is out of control. So my suggestion is for government to get involved and regulate.
Deng Anok Deng, chairperson of the Bor County Fisheries Cooperative Association, said there is an opportunity to earn money in the fishing industry. In 2012, the Canadian Hunger Foundation supported the association by providing boats, machine and refrigerator. Many of the items were stolen during the crisis. Anok says fishing pay for his kids' school fee and medications.
Fishing is a good work. Maybe you will get 500 per day, or you get 1,000 per day. If working a lot, you will get 2,000 per day.
And perhaps most importantly, Anok says fishing is a weapon of hunger. Yonglei State Minister for Animal and Fisheries, Nyang Lul Gai, says his ministry will improve the fishing industry.
When you go to riverside, you will not get money for fishermen along the riverside. These play negatively in quantity to supply the market. Therefore, you may get market is little bit high because the supply is less than the demand in market.
Lul says Yonglei State's fishing industry is able to produce about 300,000 metric tons of fish a year. He says if Yonglei takes the lead, it can potentially supply the entire country with fish. For VOA News, I'm Jacob Achek in Bor.
There is more good news today from WOW, where Western Bahar Al-Ghazal state education officials say the number of girls enrolling in schools is up. Officials say the surge in enrollment happened after World Food Program began providing girls in WOW with food ration as an inducement for them to go to school. Michael Atit has more for VOA from WOW.
Western Bahar Al-Ghazal state parents, like other parents across South Sudan, prefer to send only their sons to school partly because they cannot afford to pay tuition for all of their children. But the WFP hopes that by providing school girls with food rations, families will save money they would normally spend on food and use it to pay tuition fees for their daughters. 13-year Teresa Fangrasio Abukave, a primary aid student at WOW Town's Mayo Primary School, says she has seen the positive economic impact on her family since she began bringing home food for the last 4 months.
The sorghum and oil that we receive help us a lot. For example, we take oil home and we use it to cook different menu. While sorghum, we take it to a grinding machine and the flour is also used in different forms. This way, it reduces our food expenses.
The World Food Program has distributed more than 40 metric tons of sorghum and about 60 liters of oil to more than 5,000 school girls in WOW municipality since April 2014. Teresina Mariano, headmistress of WOW Girls Primary School, says this year fewer girls have dropped out and many more attend classes regularly. Mariano says for a girl to qualify to get food rations, she must attend all classes during that month.
In our school, the number of the dropout has reduced more, especially in junior classes. In the past, girls would just stay at home without coming to school. Now, unless someone is sick, they will usually attend school.
Pina Paul, a mother of six, says the food rations that WFP provides to girls are very useful to her family.
This food has played a great role among the poor communities because people are not all the same and some are in a worse situation. So I see this food has encouraged parents to send their daughters to schools.
With a broad smile, Abuk William Deng, who is due to sit for her primary leaving examination at WOW Girls Primary School, says if it was not for the food ratios, she would have dropped out of the school.
It has helped me a lot. Nowadays, I come to school and my stomach is full. If I am hungry, I cannot understand all the subject in the class. So the food has helped me to understand.
State education official Hussein Muhammad says the WFP's Girls Incentive Program, or GI, has made a big difference in school enrollment.
The impact that we have got from the GI, now we have a good enrollment in within these schools. Girls are okay within the schools, so there is good increase of the number of enrollment within the schools. It helped us a lot for that one. And then also has another impact. Within the schools that they don't have GI, we'll find that there is some girls used to move from the schools to another school.
For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Wau.
You might know Luol Deng as a star player for the NBA, but when he is not on the basketball court, Deng is often working on humanitarian projects. One of those projects has led the South Sudanese-born athlete to Washington, D.C., where tomorrow he will host South Sudan Unite. Deng tells South Sudan In Focus reporter Ayen Bure he hopes the event will inspire young people to reject hate and work for peace and reconciliation in South Sudan.
The South Sudan Unite is just an event that it's really a start of something special. I really hope so. It's just to get everyone in the same page, to see where everybody's mind is. We invited different leaders from different communities within the U.S. to try to really see what they're doing in their communities and try to get everyone to know what they're doing. I think people don't know that there's so many people out there from South Sudan that are really trying to unite us. And those people are the people that we really need to put up front for the youth to see. And that's really where South Sudan Unite comes in.
And Luol, when the fighting broke out in 2013, there was a lot of people in the youth who took to social media with some very strong and sometimes hateful comments. What would you say to those people?
I would say, obviously, every time a fight breaks out, there's a lot of things that are not positive. There's a lot of wrongdoing. Every time that happens, there's a lot of things that could be handled differently. Mm-hmm. I think it's really hard for me to tell somebody not to say certain things when they're affected emotionally or some of their family members have been affected. What I always try to say is just be patient and just really try to find out what's really going on. And that's why we're doing the South Sudan Unite. It was very hard for me to reach out to people on Facebook and say, you shouldn't be saying this. Well, they're saying it because of what they're hearing. Now, if we're both listening to the same thing and we're hearing the same news that's coming out from South Sudan, I think then I could sit down and say, look, you're wrong here. This is really how you should handle it. But until we have that, it's going to be very difficult for South Sudan to really unite when everyone is hearing a different story. We need something where everyone could come together and listen to the same news and hopefully have the same outcome and the same direction for everybody, because I really believe all the youth and everyone wants peace in South Sudan and wants to unite. But in order to achieve that, I think we're going to have to go through some hard time. Mm-hmm. And our generation has been put in a situation where this is the time. I really believe that this is the time. And if we're not mature enough or we're not prepared to handle the pain in order to get through to the next phase, I think that we're just going to be in pain and the next generation is going to go through the same thing. So we really have a chance to turn it around and hopefully have a better South Sudan.
And Luol, I just want to ask you, you've already done so much for South Sudan, but what's next for you? What else can we expect from the Luol Deng Foundation?
Honestly, South Sudan is one of those that it's everything that I am, and I really mean that. And I think that for the rest of my life, it's always going to be something. I don't think that, you know, during my lifetime, South Sudan is going to be the United States or it's going to be, you know, the UK or Russia or anything like that. But I think that we could really make a lot of, you know, stride forward. So I really believe that every summer is going to be, or every year, there's going to be something Luol Deng is doing back home, even if it's something as small as spending time with people. To me, that really matters. So it's just, I think it's a cycle that's just going to continue.
That's basketball star Luol Deng speaking with Ayen Bure about South Sudan Unite, event that will happen tomorrow in Washington, D.C. That's our show for this Friday. We want to remind our listeners that the signal reception of VOA's 93.5 FM is now very loud and clear in Juba. Tune in and enjoy our programs. We now leave you with a test of Emmanuel Kembe's new album, Nabni Baledna Together. Enjoy your weekend. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Afirma hatatana.